Lekuta Sicha is Chelek Yud Ches, Parsha Shlach, Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. At the beginning of this week's Parsha, right at the beginning, it says, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, and Rashi says, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu sending off the Meraglim. Rashi says, why was the story of the Meraglim placed next to the story of Miriam, and that she spoke about Moshe, and therefore she got leprosy, and so on. The reason is, because they saw that she was punished. She was afflicted by leprosy because of matters of speech, that she spoke about her brother, and these evil people saw what happened, and they didn't take the lesson that they shouldn't speak that way, and they also spoke against Eretz Yisrael. So we know that Rashi, all parshas in the Torah are placed next to each other. And Rashi doesn't ask the question in every single place, why are these two placed next to each other, especially when the two events followed each other, as was the case in the story of Miriam and the Meraglim, that they happened one day after the other. The day that Miriam was brought back into the community out of quarantine, that's when the Meraglim was sent the very next day. So why wouldn't they be close to each other? They should be close to each other. So why does Rashi ask this question? Also, some of the wording of Rashi, why does it say that on matters of speech? Why doesn't he say that she spoke Lashon Hara, as he does, in fact, say it in other places? So this will be understood by first explaining a general question that the Ramban actually asks about what was the great sin of the Meraglim. In the end, they were sent in order to assess the situation of Eretz Yisrael, to see what is the way, how are we going to conquer the people of the land of Israel. And they came back and they gave a report which was actually accurate. They're a very mighty people, the cities are fortified, and so on. They told the truth. Why do we fault them for that? And you can't say that the reason was because they said we will not be able to conquer it. Because first of all, when Kolev interrupted their speaking, Vayahas Kolev, when he tried to shut them up, that was before they even came to the conclusion that we will not be able to conquer it. If you look in the Chumash, you'll see that it was before. So in other words, he was already put off by what they were saying at the beginning, that it's a mighty people and there's fortified cities, but this is what they should have been saying. And it would also seem to mean that Leinuch Alal, we will not be able to, and that they are stronger. They said Kechazuk Hu Mimenu, which is interpreted to mean they're stronger than Hashem. In other words, what did they mean by that? In a simple reading, that simply means that even if we rely on miracles, it's hard to imagine how this could happen. They're so mighty that even miracles, the normal miracles that we see, will not work. So in other words, what was their great sin for which they are faulted so greatly? And it's this question that Rashi is trying to answer by explaining why the story of Miriam is brought next to the story of the Meraglim. So to explain Rashi's question, why were these two parashas brought together? Rashi is asking, even when two stories happen alongside each other, there's sometimes a need to separate two parashas and not to bring them together. Like, for instance, in the case of Vayhi ben Soya from last week's Parsha in Baal Yisra, where Rashi explains that there are two parshas, both of which deal with negative events, which happen one after the other. Therefore, the Torah inserted the Parsha Vayhi ben Soya, which is really out of place. It doesn't really follow in that, doesn't really belong in that place. But the Torah wanted to separate between the two parshas that speak of negative events. So we see that there is sometimes a need to separate two parshas. Why in this case should the parsha of Miriam and the parsha of the Meraglim be separated? For a simple reason. Both stories talk about two people speaking out of turn. Miriam speaking out of turn, the Meraglim speaking out of turn. So one could come to the mistaken conclusion that somehow there is a similarity between the sin of Miriam and the sin of the Meraglim, which is, of course, certainly untrue. Miriam was a great tzaddikah. She made a mistake. Even after she was punished, the whole entire B'nai Yisrael, they all waited for her until she was over her problem. And Hashem showed her great honor because of this. It showed her honor through this way. So we see that she was still considered to be a great tzaddikah, which deserves respect. And the Meraglim they were punished terribly. They caused a terrible punishment for the Jewish people of that time, that the people that all the people that came out of Mitzrayim were going to die in the Midbar. Their children would have to wander for 40 years. So this led to terrible results. So we can see the difference between them. But still, that only explains the results of what happened. But it's not necessarily that the Meraglim intended for that to happen. They were simply reporting the facts. And they didn't necessarily mean that it should lead to such a rebellion against Hashem that the Yidden should say that we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, why should these two parshas be placed along each other to make us think that there was somehow a similarity between Miriam and the Meraglim? And to this, Rashi answers that the reason that they were brought together was because the Torah is trying to point out what exactly happened here. What was the sin of Miriam? Miriam did not speak bad of Moshe. She didn't say anything negative about him. She didn't intend to insult him. And she didn't say anything that was untrue. She said everything that was true. She was telling the story that Moshe divorced his wife because he was a prophet. So she said, are we not prophets? Her and Aaron, didn't Hashem speak to us too? Why does Moshe have to divorce his wife and cause her this pain and distress? Because Hashem speaks to him, he speaks to us too. So in other words, everything about that she said was correct, and she had no bad intentions. What then was the problem? Why was she punished? The reason is because iske diba. Rashi doesn't say she said Lashon Hara. She was busy talking. What Rashi is saying is that the sin is don't talk too much. You don't have to talk about what's going on. You have a problem with what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing? Ask him the question privately. To go and talk about it, even though if you don't intend to say negative things about him. But talking leads other people to interpret it badly, and that's what leads to negative things happening. So it's iske diba, don't talk too much. And that is actually what the Meraglim did as well. Of course they had to come back and give a report and tell the story as it is. Tell the facts as it is. But they were talking it up. They're such a mighty people and they scared everybody. They caused such, by describing it in such a way, they talked about it in such a way that it caused everybody to become frightened. And because they became frightened, they became despondent and they thought that it would never work, and therefore they decided to rebel against Hashem and were not going. It was what the Jewish people said. But the sin of the Meraglim was that they talked too much about it. Even looking at the two stories more closely, we see a similarity. What was Miriam's mistake? She said, Hashem speaks to us, Hashem speaks to him. Is it really possible that there is such a vast difference between the way Hashem speaks to him and Hashem speaks to us, that he has to divorce his wife? And that was her mistake. Yes, there was a very big difference. The Meraglim also saw the same thing. They said, we were chosen through Al-Pi Hashem, through the words of Hashem, by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, for this particular mission. Doesn't that mean that our understanding of the situation is the correct understanding? And that's the view that everyone should take. And therefore, they understood that if we think that it's not possible, if we look to ourselves like grasshoppers in comparison to them, then everybody is going to feel the same way. Everybody is going to be the same. Because we are the people chosen for this mission. But they made the mistake that a person should never think of himself as being the ultimate decider in anything, and that he understands better, they know better than everybody. They shouldn't have spoken about it that way. Another point about this story. What changed in the Meraglim that when they went to Eretz Yisrael? Everybody knew ahead of time that the people of Canaan were a mighty nation. We'd see this from the Oz Yosher, for instance, that they said, "Namoigel kol Yosher Canaan." All the people of Canaan melted in fear. Now, it wouldn't be such a big deal if they were a weakling enemy. What's the big deal that they melted in fear? That means that they understood that they were a powerful enemy, and yet they melted in fear. So everybody knew that they were a powerful people. So what happened when the Meraglim got there? What happened that suddenly got them so frightened, that they conveyed this fright to the Jewish people? The answer is that until then they heard about the power of the people, but they never saw it in front of their eyes. When they actually saw it, as they keep saying in their report, Ra'inu, Ra'inu, we saw, and this we saw that, we saw this, In other words, that it was about seeing, and that's what made it so scary. Therefore, Rashi also says that their sin was, they should have seen, they saw what happened to Miriam. They saw that she was punished. It's not just that they heard that she was punished. They saw that she was punished. They should have, that should have been enough to counterbalance the seeing of the enemy, is the fact that they saw that Miriam was punished. So they, those two things should have balanced each other, and they should have known not to speak in a way that they shouldn't speak, just as Miriam shouldn't have spoken the way she spoke. But according to this, it comes out that in truth, these two stories shouldn't have been written next to each other, because that could lead to a misleading understanding of Miriam. It's only because we wanted to save the Meraglim that they were put next to each other. But don't we have the rule that we don't say to a person, commit a small sin so that your friend should gain, have a big gain? We don't say that. There's a rule that we don't say that you should sin a small thing so that somebody else should be saved from a big sin. The answer to that is that it seems from Rashi that he agrees with what the Tosfos says, that this rule that we don't say commit a small sin so that somebody else would be saved is only that he should be saved from a greater punishment. But if you have the opportunity to save a person by committing a small rabbinic sin in order that somebody else should be saved from a great Torah sin before he committed the sin, then we do say that you should commit a small thing to save somebody else from a big sin. Only if they already committed the sin do we say, well, to just to prevent them from being punished, then we don't say commit a small sin. And therefore, in this case, since they had not yet committed their sin, the hope was that they would take the lesson from Miriam and learn not to do the same thing that she did, of course in a bigger way, but that they should control their speech. It would have saved them, it should have saved them from committing the sin, and therefore it was worth committing the small thing, irregularity, let's call it, of putting two stories together which could lead to a wrong impression of Miriam in order to save the Meraglim from a terrible sin.